opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Today marks an important milestone for the University of West Florida and Argonaut Athletics. Earlier today, our Board of Trustees voted unanimously to approve the University of West Florida Athletics joining the Atlantic Sun Conference and the United Athletic Conference, transitioning the University of West Florida to NCAA Division I for the fall of 2026.
Man, that happened fast. You know, 2 weeks ago, nobody was talking about this. And here we are. The vote's been taken. They had a special meeting yesterday morning at 9 a.m. at UWF for the Board of Trustees. And this summer, this fall, you know, we're in. That's it. Done. We got to come up with $2 million. We've got some substantial portion of that already for the application fee. I do feel I hope that's not the hang-up, you know, in this deal. But we've been talking about this for forever, since before I came here. You know, I came here in 2014. First day on the air was in January of 2014. And, you know, this had already been in the works for, I mean, not in the works, but it had already been something people were talking about for a long time. But, you know, Manny Diaz yesterday.
This decision reflects the momentum of our university that has been built over many years and positions us for continued growth for the years ahead. At UWF, we're seeing record enrollment. Our research profile continues to grow as now an R2 institution. And our athletics programs have built a remarkable record of success both on the field and in the classroom, truly building champions for life. The move to Division I is the next step in that trajectory.
Yeah, and in case people, you know, there's a lot of questions people have about something like this. You know, one question, I know because I was talking to my wife about this, and, you know, she's like, well, so does it mean everybody has to go to D1? Like, can football go up and all the other sports stay in the Gulf South Conference?
Every UWF program will transition to Division I together. Our teams have built a championship legacy in Division II with national titles, conference championships, and All-Americans across multiple sports. The success is the foundation that makes this transition possible.
Yeah, so the answer is no. No, you cannot just move a portion of your program. It's the entire thing or nothing.
As members of the ASUN Conference, our teams will compete alongside institutions such as the University of North Florida, Florida Gulf Coast University, and Stetson University. Our football program will compete in the United Athletic Conference at the Division I FCS level.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of a weird situation it's not that weird. I guess it's relatively common within what I'd consider the lower division of D1. And I know, understanding all of these things, if you're not into sports, even me, I was like learning about this yesterday and the day before. But there's the upper division, the FBS, and it's hard, I know, to sometimes keep these things straight. Like, what's the difference between an attorney to warning and an attorney to watch? Why don't they come up with better terms? Well, they didn't. But FB, think bowl. Okay. Bowl games. Okay, it's a football bowl, okay? C is championship, and you think, well, that's kind of high, too. Yeah, but it's not. So think like soccer, you know, the upper leagues, lower leagues, you know, all of those divisions, same basic kind of concept. So you've got Division I FBS, which is, you know, University of Florida, Auburn, Alabama, Florida State, okay? You're massive, big, highly successful universities. And then you have the FCS, which is sort of like the next group down, and they do the postseason differently. Instead of doing bowl games, they do a championship playoff bracket, like you think the NCAA tournament or the NIT tournament. It's, you know, which is also an NCAA, and you think, well, how can that be? Well, that's how that works, or the NAIA. Anyway, we're going to be in the lower of the upper, if you want to think about it that way. There's Division One is really two pieces, 1A and 1B, if you are, I mean, probably better say 1B and 1C. But in any case, we're going to be in the, you know, the lower of the upper two or the upper half. I don't want to get you lost in the terminology. The point is it's good. It's higher competition. It does take a cost. It means TV revenue, better ability to recruit, all kinds of good things. The one I think a lot of people worry, and not unfairly so, is will this fundamentally change the nature of UWF? And right, we talked since Manny Diaz has become the president about, you know, Martha Saunders and Judy Bents did a great, I mean, great job of growing a university and keeping it what it was. And I think one of the big questions about Manny Diaz, precisely because he said he wants to grow the prestige and notoriety and the recruiting ability of, you know, UWF. He wants to turn it into basically a school to compete for students and athletes against all of the other big schools, you know, against Florida State, against Florida, against Alabama, whatever. And the question is, well, can you do that and still keep it the 15 to 16,000 person small school field, you know, kind of that. I say this in, as a compliment, UWF feels like a glorified community college in a lot of ways because it kind of has that personal feel. You know, it's a lot of commuter students, a lot of live-at-home students. My, you know, we've had two sons go there already, and another one's maybe going to, just depends. He wants to be a nurse, so he might stay at PSC because that program fits him better. But the point is, we love UWF, but UWF is definitely a different feel, a different kind of school than, you know, again, I went to the University of Illinois. It's a completely different kind of experience. And that's the point. Will it keep that? Will it stay that as you grow? Can you grow athletics without, you know, massively changing the enrollment? Well, he talked a little bit about that yesterday.
What defines the University of West Florida does not change. Our students will continue to receive the personalized, high-quality education that UWF is known for. Our commitment to academic excellence remains at the center of everything that we do. Division One athletics can strengthen that mission by expanding visibility, attracting talented students, and elevating the national profile of our university.
Right, but he's also, this question of size has come up before, and Manny has said he doesn't really want to change the size a lot. And so if you increase the profile and the visibility, but you don't really, say, jump from 15 or 16 to, say, 25 or 30 or 40,000 students, you know, which some people would love to see that, and maybe that would be fantastic. But if you change the size, you will definitely change the nature of the university. Well, you're going to have to become more selective. And one of the things about UWF has always been that, you know, if you have decent enough grades, you get in. You know, it's very easy to get into UWF. And again, as a compliment, like, that's one of the things a lot of local folks kind of take for granted is they can definitely always go to UWF if they need to. As long as they're going to go to some school, they can probably get into UWF. Well, if you change your profile and change your, you know, number of people who want to come here dramatically and you keep the same size, it's a math problem. That means more selectivity. That means a higher rejection rate, right? This is going to cost about $2 million, the application fee. There's other money involved in all of this. Some revenue, of course, also involved in this.
This transition is being approached with fiscal responsibility. Funding for academic programs and university operations will not be impacted to support this move. The financial model for Division I is built around philanthropy, revenue, and dedicated funding sources.
So the claim is that there won't be any money drawn from anywhere else in order to make this thing happen, and I certainly hope that turns out to be the case. Obviously, we're involved in a very expensive construction project with the new stadium. That's, you know, being, I think that's mostly being done by donations. I don't remember the numbers on it. It's a huge project. It's some money there being done by the state, some money being done by local development, tourism development tax, some money being done, you know, by UWF itself.
Our new football stadium, already under construction, as most of you have seen, represents an important investment in the future of UWF athletics. I also want to recognize the generosity of Daryl Gooden, whose transformational gift make that project possible.
Absolutely, absolutely. Although generosity is a funny way to say it, but everybody makes verbal stumbles, myself included. So, you know, athletics makes money. This will make better things for all of the athletes, all of the athletics. I think it's probably going to mean more work, you know, frankly, for a lot of the coaches. But it does open up the opportunity for better recruiting. You know, the opportunity to students who would not really, I mean, students who are good enough to play in Division I don't want to play in Division II. And UWF has always done a really good job of going and snagging students who might otherwise go to D1 and saying, hey, come to our program. It's really fantastic. And we won't have to kind of make the case the same way anymore. Hey, pay no attention to the fact that we're only in Division II. We're going to be in Division I. It's still, you know, going to be a little bit of a challenge because UWF is now going to be competing against other schools who are going to want to take those students. The one thing that this really brings to light to me is the ongoing concern that our football program in particular, but somewhat other sports, but particularly with football, it's just been hard to get games. Like, every year we go through this challenge of, you know, are we going to be able to get the games? Are there going to be enough schools who are going to be willing to play us? Because, you know, one of the problems is that we've been so successful that a lot of teams are like, I don't want to play against UWF. That's, they're hard to play against. And so Dave Scott actually addressed this yesterday when he's the athletic director for UWF.
We will be the third largest institution in both leagues. We fit the profile. We look at that. We look like them. Our peers and aspirants that we want to be like in the future look like that league. So it creates great opportunities. The situation with GSC football specifically, you know, did probably help move this along, but it's a great decision for the institution, and we're really looking forward to being a part of these new leagues.
He was asked about the schedule. They said that they're going to put out the in-conference schedule for the UAC yesterday. That did come out. Central Arkansas, this is going from September 5th to 19th, Austin Peay, October 3rd, Abilene Christian, Eastern Kentucky, North Alabama, Tarleton State, and then West Georgia. But they're going to look for out of conference. You know, they're going to have a lot of sort of keystone rivalry matches, I would think they'll fill in. Because now we're going to be the school that some of the upper D2 schools want to play against because, you know, we're sort of just barely inside D1. Also, we're not eligible for playoffs yet. We can play in the tournament for the UAC, but it'll be 3 years before we can play in the NCAA Division I bracket, which, again, for the FCS is a bracket like the NCAA basketball tournament, whereas the bowl games and also now the more recent, you know, bracket for the really the best teams in the nation. But the challenge of scheduling, like I said, that was something that had come up yesterday.
Travel was not that much different than what we have in Division II.
Travel, he said. Travel's not much different because that was a question, is how much difference will we have to be going a lot of places? And the answer is no, not really.
Because of the challenging and scheduling, I think football went to Oklahoma this past year. I mean, we had to fly to Michigan last year. Our teams are having to search out further opportunities because, if I'm honest, it's difficult to schedule because of our success. So we think this is going to help us as we move to the future.
Yeah, because we'll have more solid games in the UAC. It'll be easier for us to find other games as well because we'll be more likely competing against other Division I teams. So, yeah, this is a very, very good thing. But, you know, it certainly means that we were the big fish in the small pond before, and now we're going to be the still fairly big fish in a much bigger pond because by size, if you look at the UAC, which is the football organization, you know, in that one we are, and see, now Dave Scott said we were the third largest. By my numbers, when I look at the numbers, it looks like we're actually the largest in that, but you have Southern Utah's 14,000, you got University of West Georgia's 14,000, we're just over 15,000, and then in the Atlantic Sun Conference, it looks like we are, you know, Florida Gulf Coast is in there, they're at 15, Eastern Kentucky is at 16, and that must be what he meant. UNF, North Florida, is also at 16. We're not the largest there, but we're in the third place for that one. The UAC, we're a little bit bigger. And again, the point is, for all the athletics, you know, it's a good opportunity. It is costing us money. It does change the nature of the university and athletics. And time will tell whether it changes the nature of the university itself. But very exciting day. And coming up at 7:10, and I know that's 2 hours away. I mean, who can plan for that? But if you're in the car or you want to tune in, we'll be talking to Judy Benz, who is obviously the key architect of UWF football. She's got a new book out as well. Just sort of lucky coincidence. But she's going to be one of the people in charge of the fundraising for the new football program. So we'll be talking to her, and I can't wait to get she's probably just out of her mind. I know from some of the stuff I saw her post online yesterday. Anyway, it's going to be good to talk to her later on this morning. 523 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are retiring or you are 64 turning 65, or you just have questions about Medicare or Medicaid, what does, you know, supplement mean? What is about, what is Advantage? What about prescription drugs? And maybe you just kind of don't understand the whole system because it's different from when you're working with private insurance your whole life. And again, you know, some people feel afraid to ask questions, but Medicare, Medicaid, which one covers me? What's the difference? If you know, it's easy to understand. And if you don't know, it's the words are almost identical. It's very hard to understand. Well, call Ricky. She's fantastic at this. She'll help you understand. 341-2185. Lots and lots and lots of other people who listen to this show have called her and talked to her. And basically the report back is, oh, my God, Andrew, you said she was nice, but you have no idea. I'm like, I know. She's amazing. MedicarePensacola.com. You can just click on schedule now for an appointment, or you can give her a call. Again, Ricky Stewart Insurance, 341-2185.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Sky, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sonny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Sky, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
This definitely rates about a 9.0 on my weird stuffer meter.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga
chaka. I can't stop this feeling.
Ooga, ooga, ooga,
deep inside. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright. I'm hooked on a feeling.
It would be immoral to interrupt that song before you get to the payoff. Right, PJ? Don't you agree?
That's right.
Some people have no sense of respect. 527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Lots and lots of stuff going on. Oh, you know, we were talking yesterday, obviously, because it was the 2nd of April, about some of the things that came up in the April Fool's Day post locally. And I'll tell you, one that I actually thought was super creative locally that didn't get any attention at all. I mean, it's like 19 likes on – it was the Pensacola International Airport put up one, and I thought it was super clever. PNS Underground Update, Phase 1 complete. After decades of rumors, we can finally confirm the tunnels are real. There were lots of tunnels posts, but here, listen. That's right. What we've been hiding beneath Pensacola all this time is now officially connected to the airport, and we cannot confirm or deny access points near Seville Quarter. And they had, you know, Phase 1 is complete. After decades of speculation, the tunnels are real. Originally constructed centuries ago and expanded over time for military operations, rum storage, other undisclosed purposes, they've remained sealed beneath Pensacola. Until now, we've officially connected the airport to this network of tunnels. Gate 2 goes to downtown Pensacola, 2-minute travel. Gate 5 goes to Pensacola Beach, 5-minute travel. Baggage claim will take you to Seville Quarter. And I'm sitting there thinking, again, of course it's fake, but it's kind of fun. Climate-controlled simulation of the infamous Gulf Breeze, moving walkways, lazy river option for those who wore a swimsuit under their airport athleisure. Historically accurate ghost of Don Tristan de Luna, because the ghost has always been the other half of this rumor. Yes, TSA pre-check works underground, and ghost sightings are not guaranteed. Anyway, I thought it was cute, and I just wanted to give them a little kudos for it, because I thought they tried hard. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. The Final Four this weekend. PJ, you're not a big basketball. You're more of a football, right?
More football,
okay,
yes.
Okay, all right. But nevertheless, as a Big Ten guy, I mean, it is Minnesota. Are you eager for the possibility that Illinois could be playing Michigan in the finals? That's a no. Okay. That's a no.
It's a no-win.
No, yeah. It's,
for me.
All it can do is make you miserable, right?
But I'm looking at you and you're orange.
I got orange Illinois. On. I got an Illinois sweatshirt here, and when it starts to get colder later on in the day, our air conditioning in the studio is crazy. But I'm wearing my Illinois hat. Like, I'm all weekend. All weekend. We don't get to do this very often, so I'm very excited about it. Now, are you a guy who, as a Big Ten kid, do you cheer when other Big Ten teams are doing well, or do you hate them all because they're not Minnesota?
Well, first of all, I'm from Wisconsin.
Thank you. Sorry. Wisconsin Badgers. You know, they're all the same to me. Just kidding.
Wow.
Obviously, by the way, I talk about. No, but do you cheer for other, like, in your conference people?
No,
or
just
do you,
my team.
You hate them all. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, you know, you learn something about a person every day, including actually which school they go to. 437-1620. Oh, the Pensacola Reverb Hard Rock is looking for a 20-year E-date after kind of a long series of not getting that. Remember, the mayor bragged about this deal wouldn't involve it. Situations change. What will the city council say? That, I'll tell you, that is going to be a very robust conversation.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump shakes up the Department of Justice. Pam Bondi is out as the nation's top law enforcement official. Fox's Madeline Rivera.
A senior administration official tells our Peter Ducey that the president had been considering replacing Bondi for some time now and that there was no sign of bad blood. But Bondi has been under public scrutiny, especially as it relates to her handling of the Jeffrey Epstein case.
But Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche pushing back on Jesse Waters' primetime.
Never heard President Trump say that the attorney general was, that anything that happened to her had anything to do with the Epstein files.
Plan to run the DOJ until a replacement is confirmed by the Senate. The war in Iran is not winding down. Israel dealing with more incoming fire from Iran. Kuwait and Bahrain also reported being attacked. Four astronauts aboard the Artemis II spacecraft are zooming toward their destination, the moon. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. And right now we've got 67 degrees with mostly cloudy skies. We're going to get to a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. Well, a major shift in military policy took effect yesterday. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth signed a memo directing installation commanders to allow service members to carry personal firearms for on base for self-protection, with a presumption of approval on any request. Hegseth cited recent shootings at military installations, including the 2019 attack at NAS Pensacola, as justification for the change.
Recent events like what happened at Fort Stewart, Holloman Air Force Base, or Pensacola Naval Air Station have made clear that some threats are closer to home than we would like. In these instances, minutes are a lifetime. And our service members have the courage and training to make those precious short minutes count.
Hegseth posted his announcement yesterday on social media. Gun violence prevention advocates have raised some concerns about the policy, noting that firearm suicide is the most common method of death among military members. Any denial of a carry request does have to be explained in writing. Well, most Escambia County offices will be closed today in observance of Good Friday. Closures include county departments, the clerk's office, property appraiser, tax collector, supervisor of elections, animal shelter, and all of the West Florida Public Library locations. Libraries will also be closed over the weekend. The Perdido landfill will be open both today and tomorrow with regular hours. ECAT bus service will run its regular schedule today. County offices do reopen for normal hours on Monday, April 6th. A federal judge has blocked the president's executive order cutting federal funding to PBS and NPR, ruling the move unconstitutional. The decision is being closely watched by the WSRE-TV Foundation, which has already felt the impact of those funding cuts. The WSRE board says the station lost about half of its staff, dropping from 15 to 7 employees after losing about a third of its budget due to the federal cuts and additional state funding reductions. The judge's ruling does not restore funding that's already been cut. Well, it's official. The University of West Florida is moving to Division I. UWF holding a press conference yesterday announcing the Argonauts will begin competing in the Atlantic Sun Conference and the United Athletic Conference football division starting this fall.
Today is an exciting day for the Argonaut community. This is a day you'll remember when we made this transition and started a new era. Before we talk about where we're going, it's important to recognize how we got here, because this was a moment that wasn't given to us, it was earned.
UWF Athletic Director Dave Scott, UWF has won 11 national championships and 136 conference titles at the Division II level. The Argonauts will begin a three-year NCAA reclassification process this fall, with full postseason eligibility beginning in 2029. It's 5:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our forecast.
We are going to be looking at partly cloudy skies, high today near 77 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. For Saturday, mostly sunny skies, high near 80 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 65. Looking at some showers and thunderstorms on Sunday, 80% chance of rain, especially through the morning and afternoon, high near 76. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 52. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
67 degrees, we've got mostly cloudy skies right now. Our next news in 30 minutes, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump has announced that he is adjusting tariffs on products that contain steel and aluminum. Finished products made with imported steel, aluminum, and copper will be tariffed at 25% and will apply to the entire value of the finished product. That will replace the current 50% duty, which only applies to the value of the metal used in a product. S&P Global Data says the spot price for the current physical cargoes of Brent crude oil soared to more than $141 a barrel yesterday, which is the highest level since the 2008 financial crisis. The high price for more immediate oil deliveries points to the tightness of supply right now due to Iran's closure of the Strait of Hormuz. OpenAI is acquiring technology news podcast TBPN. The program is a daily podcast hosted by John Coogan and Jordy Hayes that covers technology news and features interviews with major tech leaders. TBPN started streaming last year. The stock market is closed today in honor of Good Friday. It will reopen Monday. That's Your Money Now.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up.
But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Hey there, home buyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty,
your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top. Angela Sherrill, 850-292-3165.
Will Maven, 850-261-7020 or at willmaven.com.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Bad boys.
Good evening, City Council. I'm here today to, again, to ask that y'all terminate the contract with Flock. This is a system that is not secure that anyone can hack. This system captures every plate it sees and retains them all for 30 days. Every car, every driver, whether connected to a crime or not. That is not targeted law enforcement. That is blanket surveillance with selective searching.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Girasol Alfonso. So, yeah, we're here today, again, just demanding that this council terminate this contract with Flock, this AI-powered surveillance system.
This is the Party for Socialism and Liberation, the red shirt people, who, again, I always like to give credit. They're at least honest about where they're coming from, and they have repeatedly been protesting the Flock cameras in Pensacola for several months. Several weeks, I think, even into months now, a couple of months at least. It was kind of funny, in this particular city council meeting on Thursday, a guy named John Wade got up and explained to them that, you know, if you were really socialist, you would recognize that, you know, violations of privacy are your thing. Historically, your people, you know, whether it's Castro or Mao or, you know, anybody else, Stalin, have loved surveillance. And so they're big fans of this. It's the folks like me who believe in the Constitution and conservatism and libertarianism that don't like these things. And they just didn't react to that at all, did not learn the lesson. We talked about that last hour. Joining us now, we have the Pensacola Police Chief, Eric Winstrom. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Andrew. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Great to have you. 1 month. You got a month anniversary, right?
A month. Yeah, that's it. I'm a salty old veteran now. So I got everything under control. 1 month is, it's still.
Oh, did we just?
Getting a little better.
Oh, there we go. Sorry, your phone cut out on me for a second. So 1 month, and then we lost the rest of your comment.
Oh, 1 month, and every day is getting a little better. How about that?
I'll take it. Very, very good. Let's start there. You've kind of wandered into the middle of a, I don't know if you want to call it a big controversy, but it's certainly a thing that a lot of people like to talk about, the Flock cameras. The allegations are, it's been misused by police officers. It is blanket surveillance. It is unconstitutional. It is violating people's privacy, on and on. And, you know, you put out a press release, last week, I think, about the use of the Flock camera in connection with the Charmaneva Fails shooting, which has now involved, I think, 5 or 6 different people have all been arrested in connection with that, and that was a key element in helping to solve that case. So maybe take a minute and address the concerns about privacy, the misuse. However, you're well aware of this issue, and I know you're an advocate for technology. So how do you think about this or respond to those concerns?
Well, interestingly enough, I see Flock as almost boring. It's not the sort of high technology surveillance system that it's made out to be people that are protesting it. It just captures when a license plate goes by a camera that's just static, that's sitting there. And there are so many more concerns. You know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s. I'm 50 years old. On cell phones, surveillance, real surveillance system, cameras throughout downtown areas, especially that coming from somebody of my mindset, it is a little alarming.
Yeah.
This is capturing a license plate on the public way, and it's so important to so many investigations that I've been involved in. I can't tell you, using it in the city of Chicago and then through the 4 years I was chief in Grand Rapids, Michigan, literally dozens, if not hundreds of murders have been solved, and people have been put in prison because of this technology. It really is. It's fantastic technology, but it is has a very light impact on civil liberty. We're not stopping anybody. If anything, when that stop does come of a suspect vehicle, you're empowered with more information, making sure that you really do have that probable cause to stop that vehicle. So from someone that really enjoys, I love the Constitution, I love my freedoms, I don't want to live in a surveillance state, I don't have concerns about it. But happy to allay others' concerns, especially I heard some of the clip of public speakers that it's been hacked. And, you know, we've been in contact with the Flock company, and we have the actual facts. It's a very secure system. No security concerns. It has never been hacked. So really, it's a talking point with this group. I think you mentioned the speakers at city council or members of a socialist group. There's a member of members of a communist group that would appear the same script in the last city I worked, and they would come with their script. So I think this is something that's sort of passed around the internet, and some some false information is out there, and I'm happy to correct it.
Yeah, and that's been my impression as well, is that some of the claims are dubious at best or false at worst, very misleading, that this itself is a political operation, not an engagement for rational discussion. And plus, it being contrary to their basic political motives. But that's not the issue. I think you kind of have the other side, which I agree with. But you have the other side, which is that kind of robust, liberty-oriented, the way you prevent the government from ever having the comprehensive, invasive surveillance state capability that you see in movies is stopping them at the little, you know, you get the big thing from the little thing. So, and I know you've talked about this, how, you know, you're, as you said, you're a big believer in personal privacy and you would never want to live in a true surveillance state. But how do you keep, or how, what would you say to assuage the concern that this is like the step one or the step two, and that might be the step nine, but you can never get to nine if you don't go to two. Is it just a matter of trade-off in crime solved and the decreasing crimes across the country, or is it really you just could not get there from here without major changes to the system?
Well, there's certainly always a balance of, you know, what sort of impact are we going to have on somebody's personal freedom, but still ensure that we have the freedom that we cherish so much in this country. This has so many guardrails, and it's so light. I really don't even think that this is step two. This is something that just captures what you or I could have the same information if we threw up a camera outside our house. If I had a police officer with a clipboard standing on outside at a corner and just writing every license plate down, I mean, with the same information, it is very basic information. I don't think it's a step in that direction of surveillance. There's nobody watching it. It does not capture images of even drivers. Which say, you know, red light cameras or toll booth cameras would catch, or certainly private surveillance cameras, and doesn't get anywhere near to the surveillance level that is now ubiquitous in things such as cell phones, social media, you know, Google and things like that. So I just don't see. I think they're conflating two different topics here,
yeah.
And the flock cameras themselves. Not of, as I described, they're somewhat boring technology, extremely helpful, but it's not another step in that direction of a mass surveillance state. It just doesn't capture that much information.
And I would say, in addition to that, that one of the evidences that it's so effective is that a couple of years ago, when people didn't really know that this was out, but they had been in use, you know, a lot of our local law enforcement agencies were pretty, you know, they were pretty reluctant to talk about it. Which to me says precisely because it's so effective and because you don't want the bad guys to realize how effective they are, that we're not really talking about it in public too much. And by the way, Chief, I do appreciate the note that in other places you've lived, you've heard the exact same comments from similar groups. Like, it is just, this is the talking points that get passed around. I appreciate that. One of the other, it's another technology thing, but it had come up recently pretty catastrophically. The red light cameras allowed your agency to solve this horrible crash at 9th and Bayou, where a guy ran through a red light allegedly, and the mother was lived, but the child who was in her uterus was killed, and, you know, charges pending from that. If we didn't have red light cameras, we might have never found this person, right?
That's true. Well, I believe his vehicle may have been disabled to the point that he wasn't able to get far enough away. Perhaps we would have been able to put him in custody, but certainly we wouldn't be able to put together exactly what happened. And because it's happened at the intersection, we have crystal clear video of his actions. And, you know, he'll have to answer for that in court and work that process out. But it's invaluable for this case. And it is a very serious case with a serious injury to the mother. And, of course, a tragedy of her losing her unborn child.
Yeah, just a horrible – I mean, you know, I hate to have the event happen. The only good news out of it was that at least we're going to be able to prosecute the culprit. And if we didn't have that technology, we wouldn't have as easy a time of being able to do that, which I appreciate. A lot of things happened this last week. I'll always take a calm week. They come and go. But we did have a couple of stories from last week that I think we didn't all get updates on. I want to find out if we know anything. The WRSRE bomb scare with the what looked like dynamite training device. Prop, we don't know, still working on it.
We it's out for testing, and we got detectives that are still following up on some information that they received during the investigation to see, even if it was an inert device and just for training, you know, who put it there and why. And hopefully we'll get those answers soon.
The scuffle between one of your officers and a civilian who was wanted on a warrant, I think it was at the Starbucks. In this case, a gun got, I think gun got loose, his gun, and they were struggling over it. Do we know anything more about this, or can you, you know, tell us more what happened?
Well, you got it right that it was an individual that had an active warrant. The officer was aware of it, went into attempt to make an arrest, and some sort of struggle ensued. It is still under investigation, but one thing that I do want to point out is a civilian that happened to be in the area and saw the commotion rush to the officer's aid, and really a hero for us, and we're going to find a way to recognize him because he subdued this individual as he and the officer were still struggling over this firearm and turned what could have been a tragic situation on many levels with that being such a busy area over there. You know, ended it safely. So one thing I will add, just thanks to the good people of Pensacola, that you're just a random bystander willing to step up and brought this situation to an end. So that was fantastic.
I remember several years ago, I did a ride along with a PPD officer, and we were getting ready to go out, and he was talking me through what to expect and how, what he wanted me to do and not do or whatever. And I remember vividly, and this is a big guy, like, you know, at least 50% bigger than me, very muscular guy, very skilled. And he said, okay, if I get into trouble, you know, help me. And I'm like, well, you know, I'll do what I can. He said, no, seriously. And literally he said, if I'm getting my ass kicked, come and help me. And I said, okay, I'll do what I can. But that's the point. You know, you would help a civilian. Why wouldn't you help a cop? I mean, same basic thing. There was a shot fired in that incident. Do we know how that happened, or is that still kind of trying to figure it out?
Yeah, my understanding is actually, we're not quite sure yet. You know, that officer is on administrative leave. He has come in now. I believe it might actually be happening today that he's going to give his statement, and we're going to try and sort the whole thing together. But no one was struck by that round. So whether it was an accidental discharge, whether the bad guys, managed to pull the trigger on it, we're going to sort all that out. And I think right now I got more questions than answers, so I'm just not sure.
Very good. Last day on the job, I think today is for Captain Brown, I guess interim chief. I don't know which title to use for. In my phone, she's listed as Lieutenant Brown because that's when I got to know her, when she was the first female lieutenant in PPD. And also Kevin Crispin, I think it's also his last week, right, for both of them?
Yeah, and that's right. And we met with them as a leadership team and the mayor, city administrator. We had lunch with them yesterday, sort of to say goodbye. They didn't want too much pomp and circumstance, but it was great seeing them. Technically, today's Chief Brown's, I'll call her Chief Brown, Chief Brown's last day. And she's been so helpful and so kind to me in my transition. And you could just see the love that she has for the city, but I'd say for the men and women of the police department. She just cares so much about this organization and left it in a better place that she found it, and wanted to make sure that I care about it in the same way she does, and I certainly do.
You know, sometimes people have these conversations about what is the difference when you have, more inclusion of black officers, more inclusion of female officers. And I'll just tell you, if anybody who knows Kristen Brown, to me, and I don't mean to reduce her whole career to this at all, but she's such a sweetheart. I love her so much. But she is absolutely a demonstration of how having a female brings a completely different element to policing that is missing if you don't have female in policing. And it just because, you know, anyway, if you knew her, you'd know that was absolutely true. Last thing I wanted to ask you, Chief, is, one of the things you said previously is you mentioned about Grand Rapids. It had to do with I forget what the exact question was. Oh, it was cooperation with ICE. And you made the comment, you know, Grand Rapids wasn't interested in being policed in that way. It wasn't a statement of your belief. It was just a statement about how you, as the police chief, are there to represent the collective will of the people expressed through the political body and how we want to be policed. And I'm just curious,
that's right,
have you learned anything in the last, you know, 1 month about Pensacola and how we want to be policed that, I don't know, surprised you, is different, unexpected, anything, you know, because I know you're listening and learning right now.
I don't know about surprising, but I will say everything that I've heard has made me more hopeful, more optimistic of, this is already a very safe city. I believe we can even be safer. And we do that together, a collaboration between co-producing public safety, the police department, and the city as a whole. So as far as surprise, I don't know if I'm surprised by it, but just bolstered by how positive the cooperation between the city as a whole, I'm talking about the community and city government, is towards just making sure that everybody is safe, that everybody feels safe. And you nailed it on the head. I mean, the city's entitled to be policed in a way that the city wants to be policed. So the more I'm able to get out, or it's only been a month, I've talked to a lot of people, but looking forward to communicating more and hearing from the people of the city of Pensacola how they want their police department to be policed, because we work for you guys.
You know, I think one of the things that it occurs to me right now kind of for the first time is, on that note, on the one hand, you know, former police chief Leiter was always emphatic about the biggest threat to public safety and public property is bad driving, is dangerous driving, speeding, red light, all of that stuff. And so he was working to try to reduce that. But at the same time, the community doesn't like to be policed when it comes to traffic things. You know, we're resistant to speed limits. We're resistant to red light cameras. We want to drive fast and badly. We're Floridians, after all. You know, so it might be one of these kind of little schizophrenic that, on the one hand, we do want to see, you know, lives and property saved, but we maybe don't love the fact that the way to accomplish that is through more effective policing. Anyway, just not really a question. It is kind of an observation that I had not thought about before, that every probably police chief in the country has to deal with that same bit of tension a little bit. Chief Winstrom, as always, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for being available. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you periodically or whenever big news justifies it. But welcome to town. Glad you're here, and congratulations on your first month in the job.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
Absolutely. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. When you go to buy your next vehicle, if you're eager to have that wonderful experience of being shuffled around between people, being given the gauntlet of questions, of, oh, hey, I don't know if I can do that for you. Let me go check with my sales manager. All of that nonsense and just kind of feeling like you're in a war against the people who are trying to sell you a car, well, then don't go to Frontier Motors, because that's not how they do business. What they do is they try to be the not that place, right? The place where they know how everybody else does it, or a lot of other people do it, and they want to be better than that. They want to make you feel seen, make you feel heard, make you feel like if you want to come back there, it's okay. Make you feel like if you want to take your time, that's fine. You don't have to make the decision today, you know? And if you buy a car and you're happy with it, we'd like you to come back in 5 years or 10 years and come back again after that in 5 or 10 years. We'll be here, and we'll be providing good quality used cars for you to buy at that time as well. It was such a different experience buying a car from them than any I had ever had before that I had. Basically, I came back to the station and I told my sales manager, I said, I want to do ads for them. He's like, cool. And so we got them on board. And ever since, I've been talking about them because I love them. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Make this Easter truly amazing. Be a part of a Pensacola tradition enjoyed by thousands, the Community Sunrise Service at Blue Wahoo Stadium. Worship the risen Savior as the sun rises over the bay and celebrate the glory of God in a fresh and powerful way. Easter Sunday at 6:15 a.m. at Blue Wahoo Stadium. For more info, visit PensacolaEaster.org.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, it's the Calverts, one of the Gulf Coast's hottest and newest bands, bringing classic rock, rhythm and blues, and high-energy hits from the 60s to today. Their motto, if you can't dance to it, they don't play it. See you for the first Bands on the Beach.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Is there a problem?
You're Abe Froman.
That's right. I'm Abe Froman.
The sausage king of Chicago.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, you remember yesterday we were talking about how it's been a bad couple of days for President Trump in terms of news and judgments and the Supreme Court. And, you know, it looks like the Supreme Court is going to side against him on birthright citizenship, which I would be surprised if this isn't a 9-0 decision, frankly, telling him, no, sir, you got it wrong. And the oral arguments were clear. I haven't gone over it in detail with you. I'll probably do it on Monday. But if you listen to the oral arguments, I don't know that he left halfway through because he was fed up or because he wanted to only hear his own guy, John Sauer, or for, you know, he got tired or bored because it was long and it wasn't all that interesting as Supreme Court oral arguments go. He did attend and, you know, there were whispers when he was there. First time a president is coming. Did he do it to intimidate the justices? That did not seem to work. I did not expect that to work anyway. But the one that got reversed now is the ballroom. You know, the judge had put this on hold, the reconstruction of the ballroom, and pending approval, well, now he's got it. The 12-member National Capital Planning Commission, which is the agency that is given the job of approving construction on federal property, did go ahead and vote 8-1. I don't know where the other three people were, but two commissioners voting present and one absent allowed the plan to move forward. So back on track, even with the federal judge ruling.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Golf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Bridges next, then power plants. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. President Trump says we haven't even started destroying what's left in Iran after strikes on a major highway bridge.
That obviously, the U.S. says, could be used for military supply routes, but it is a civilian infrastructure target, and that marks a significant step up in this war. President Trump warning more is to come, saying on Truth Social, quote, "The biggest bridge in Iran comes tumbling down, never to be used again, much more to follow. It is time for Iran to make a deal before it is too late, and there is nothing left of what still could become a great country."
Fox's Jonathan Hunt. Iran state media reports at least 8 civilians were killed in the bridge strike. Iran's military today targeted a desalination plant and oil refinery in Kuwait. Army Chief of Staff Randy George and two other generals are removed from their positions by War Secretary Pete Hegseth, continuing a purge of military leadership since President Trump's return to office last year. Pam Bondi, fired as Attorney General by President Trump, is still under congressional subpoena to testify about the Justice Department's handling of the Jeffrey Epstein files. The president said, has not said, why it was time for Bondi to go, but new Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche tells Fox it's not about that.
Never heard President Trump say that the attorney...